That's right. It is the crew on WRSU-FM. Had a little bit of an issue with my mic over there. But now that we've got that sorted out, you know, so Tuesday night here in New Brunswick, we got finals coming up in a couple weeks, some final projects already underway. It's really getting down to the wire in terms of the academic side of things, but it's also getting down to the wire in terms of athletics, because Rutgers is right now at a critical juncture in its basketball season.
Yeah.
This is a team that you know, has had some results that have not gone their way in the early going, but you've got Purdue at home, you've got Seton Hall on the road. Win one of those two. You don't have to win both. They're, you know, Purdue's number one team in the country, but Seton Hall on the road, you know, they're still a ranked team. They're a team that, you know, they're your rival, mm-hmm. first and foremost. And there's some shenanigans going on with the tickets. I'll get into that in a minute. But, you know, if you could split one of those two, that'll be a huge boost to your resume. And it could be the kind of spark that can, you know, get your team to sort of just right the ship and, you know, get things back into rhythm. Because after that, you've got Rider, you got Central Connecticut State, you've got Maine. But then, you know, things get right into the thick of Big Ten play, and that's where, you know, you really need to be at the top of your game. So this is a critical week for this Rutgers team. Steve Peichel said today in his press conference that several members of the team are battling the flu right now. So, you know, that's another obstacle for them to face. And, you know, we'll just...
How big of an issue is that?
We don't have an exact number or anything, but he said there are several players that are dealing with it right now.
Okay.
So, you know, that's unfortunately a factor. Geo Baker's starting the rehab process now, you know, to get back from that injury that he suffered against Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have an exact timetable for return, but obviously the sooner that Geo's back in the lineup, the better. And this is a critical juncture for this team because they've shown flashes of, you know, being the team that they're capable of. You know, the offense really woke up against UMass. You know, they looked pretty solid against Clemson, had some cold stretches against Illinois, and that was, you know, a big part of the reason why they lost by the margin that they did. But, you know, it's not about how you start, it's about how you finish. Mm-hmm. And this is a critical week for this Rutgers program. And, you know, I think that, you know, what happens in these next two games could go a long way towards determining the trajectory of the rest of the season.
Absolutely. Well, first off, Chris, great to be with you here on the Tuesday crew. But I've said it for a while, the last three games and the next two games could make or break Rutgers this season. The loss to UMass was really terrible for them. The win rather against Clemson, that was a big booster. They stepped back. They won at home by double digits. They beat Clemson for the second time in about 8 months or so. It was a really good bounce back win for Clemson after a really shaky 3-3 start to the season. But against Illinois on Friday night, that was when things just, you know, went back down one more time. They took that one step forward versus Clemson. They took two steps back and maybe a bit more in that loss to the Fighting Illini by 35 points away it was. But now that they're 1-2, the fact that they have Purdue at home this Thursday, they've got Seton Hall at the Prudential Center, the Garden State rivalry, the Garden State Classic, that will be taking place on Sunday. These two games, again, like you mentioned, could make or break where it goes. These two games specifically, even to a higher extent, I would say, will definitely do it. Also, the fact that the way they finish off 2021 are against three non-conference teams who you would think at the beginning of the year would be no trouble for Rutgers whatsoever. Maybe it won't be any trouble, but the way they played against out-of-conference teams this year, nothing's guaranteed. So the fact that, you know, 2021 has been a really slow start for Rutgers and not the best start for this team, the fact that these five games, we're talking about it in this part of the year before 2022 even takes place, the fact that this conversation has happened as a whole is alarming, shocking, and really surprising to say nonetheless. We would never think we'd be saying this stuff in October, even days before the season began.
Well, yeah, but also I think, you know, what kind of encourages me is that I think a lot of the problems with this team right now are fixable.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't think it's a case that, you know, oh, like, they're just talent-wise, like, you know, towards the bottom of the Big Ten. I don't think that's the case.
Oh, absolutely not.
Because, I mean, look, you've got a good chunk of the, I mean, most of the core from last year's team that made the tournament back.
Right.
It's really, you know, it's really just Jacob, Young, Miles Johnson, and Montez Mathis. Those were the three big departures.
But you could say Jacob and Miles were arguably the two main pieces possible.
Well, they weren't the only main pieces. They were part of it. But, I mean, Ron Harper Jr. was, like, the biggest reason why they started the season as hot as they did.
Oh, absolutely. But he was also the biggest reason, possibly one of the biggest reasons why they sort of took a tumble down. Not the biggest.
I don't know if I would agree with that. I would say that having, Cliff injured for a good chunk of January was a much bigger factor just because of, what the depth looked like behind him at the time.
Sure, but Ron didn't play the best either.
Well, he did, his shooting did dip a little bit, but, shooters go up and down. Basketball is a game of runs.
Of course.
But that's the thing that I think Rutgers is really going to have to adapt to is, when you have to go small and, because Cliff, you can't play him 40 minutes a game.
Uh-huh.
Putting aside foul trouble, you can't play him 40 minutes a game. It'd be awesome if you could, but you can't. So, Steve Peichel's got to figure out, what small ball lineups work, which ones don't, what aspects of, the defense need to be fixed, what aspects of the offense need to be fixed. Uh-huh. I'd like to see a lot more ball movement on this Rutgers offense, frankly. I think that that's an area where, I feel like, there are times on the offensive side when I feel like they could use a spark,
right,
and get something going on that end. I feel like they could draw up a few different kinds of plays to get that going. I feel like if it devolves into iso ball a bit too much, it can get a bit hard to, find efficient looks. And I think that's something that Rutgers could really use on the offensive end. But there have been signs of that. Talk about how the UMass game ended, but it's also worth pointing out they scored 83 points in that game.
Right.
They were efficient offensively for much of the game. They were, moving the ball a lot better than they had at any other point in the season. The shots were falling. Stuff like that can really make the difference in terms of this Rutgers team.
But the thing is, though, to a certain extent, they haven't been able to replicate that offensive performance.
Well, no,
against UMass.
No, you're right. You're right.
That's the problem.
I mean, they scored. Yeah, exactly. That's going to be the big question is, how do you take those, flashes that you showed in those games and replicate it again in Big Ten play? That's really going to be the big question for this team. I also think that, just getting Gio back from injury sooner rather than later is just massive for this team.
But who knows when that's going to happen?
He's not going to be out the whole year or anything.
No,
crazy
of course
like
not.
That.
But
it could be a couple weeks. But if he's back for Big Ten play, that's like 2/3 of your season right there.
Absolutely. But at the same time, when you look at Purdue, when you look at Seton Hall, the rest of these games in 2021 specifically.
Well, those are the only two hard games. After that, it gets to Rider, Central Connecticut State, Maine.
The way this team has played, nothing's guaranteed.
Well, nothing's guaranteed, but I think it's a pretty safe assumption that they're going to win those three games.
I would not do that because the way they've played out of conference,
they have one quad four loss. Other than that, they've taken care of business against
Lehigh,
the lower quad team.
Lehigh, they had to come from behind, right?
Yeah, won the game, though.
Right, they won the game, but they almost lost a game, and the fact that they had to come from behind says something there, too. Number two, Merrimack, they only scored 48 points against that team, and the fact that the difference was 13 points, they put up 48.
But
Merrimack,
they won the game.
They won the game, but okay. The point is that they're barely winning these games. That's
13 points is barely winning a game?
When you put up 48 points?
They also allowed 35 points. You can't give them credit for that?
I agree with that, but the fact that they should have won that game by a larger margin compared to what it was.
I don't think the issue is that they're not beating. Look, the issue is not that they didn't beat Merrimack by more of a margin. The issue is they need to find a way to consistently get the offense going. You're not focusing on the point I made, which is that I think those three games in December, believe all three of those opponents are quad four. A lot had to go wrong for them to lose the Lafayette game.
Right.
I'm talking none of the shots were falling, even when they were getting good looks. And there have been times this year where Rutgers has gotten good looks and they just haven't fallen.
Oh, sure.
The first half of the NJIT game and the Lehigh game, for what it's worth, in terms of shot selection, you look at the advanced analytics, if you have those shots. If you played that game 10,000 times and like had like an average statistically of what the game margin would have been with those shot looks that each team had, Rutgers won by an average of 90-68. So there have been times when they've gotten good looks, they've done all the right things on offense, but the shots just haven't fallen.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain extent, if you're in a cold streak, there's really nothing else you can do but shoot your way out of it. because you can't just, you know, completely stop shooting and just trying to get to the rim on every play either, because then, you know, your offense will completely break down, defenses will back off on you, it'll clog the lane, it'll be hard to get points on the inside. One thing leads to another, and it just gets harder. So what Rutgers has to do is they've got to find a way to get guys going into it, getting guys into a shooting rhythm consistently. You know, guys like Paul Mulcahy, you know, Paul Mulcahy's not a guy who's like a score first kind of a player. Sure. It's just not his style.
Okay.
But he's shown in the past that he can score the basketball efficiently when he needs to. Like, when he has good looks, he's shown the capability to hit them. You know, you could say the same about, you know, I think Jaden Jones has had, you know, a pretty, all things considered, a pretty good start to what's really his true freshman season.
Uh-huh.
You know, last year, you know, he only played a couple minutes here and there because sure. he was basically a high school senior. But now he's a real college freshman player. And he's already, like, I want to say he's the fourth most efficient offensive player based on the analytics. I'd have to take a closer dive into those numbers.
Okay.
But he's really shown a lot on the offensive end. Now,
that's fair.
The defense still needs to be developed, but, you know, that's Steve Peichel's bread and butter.
Right.
You know, he can get guys to play good basketball on the defensive side of the ball. That's never been anything in doubt. And I think that this team is going to be playing much better basketball in January and February than they are right now.
That's fair.
Because that's, I mean, if you look at the history, look at, you know, there have been times when Rutgers teams have gone on similar cold spells and they've always bounced back.
Mm-hmm.
Always. I mean, you look at the year they made the tournament, they didn't really get into a rhythm until the Wisconsin game. But the Wisconsin game, the Seton Hall game, that was what really got people to really believe that this team could get something done. And that led to the run that they had in Big Ten play in order to, you know, get in a position to make the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. Of course, obviously, COVID put the kibosh on that. But
Right. Point
remains, they were able to figure it out. Look back to last season.
Sure.
They went through a similar stretch for about 5-6 games, which is about what we're talking about here, a little bit longer in this case. But they figured it out, and they got to the tournament. Now, granted, it's early in the season. Mm-hmm. You've got two big games. You can at least split one of those two games against two very good basketball
teams.
Like, that's really – it just takes one win like that to really reinvigorate your team, really get them going, and, you know, get them on the path. And then once you do that, if you can get them on the roll, I think those three games in mid-late December, I would be pretty confident that they're going to win all three of those games. Lightning doesn't usually strike twice. So I think if you do that, I think you end the calendar year on the right note. You can head into Big Ten play. Guys are in a rhythm offensively.
Sure.
And you can just get a lot more going in that respect.
No, so absolutely.
I think that's going to be key.
I see what you're saying. I do. I just think that the way they've played and the way how it's been back and forth, it's been down to the wire. Sometimes it's been a blowout and against Rutgers. No game is considered or truly, you know, determined in their favor. I think every game possibly could be a hit or a miss. And the fact that, again, there's been so much inconsistency, nothing is guaranteed for this Rutgers team, especially in 2021.
Basketball is a game of runs.
I agree with you completely.
Steve Peichel is a good coach.
I agree.
It's a team with good basketball players.
I agree.
They will figure it out.
I agree, but the question is, In the rest of that calendar year, can they do it?
I think so.
I'm not denying they can't, but what I'm trying to say is that nothing is guaranteed. Nothing is guaranteed.
But that's a hedge though, because that's unfalsifiable. If they win four of their last five games in 2021,
okay,
like you've basically covered your rear end by saying, hey, I said nothing was guaranteed, but they did it. Like you're not making like a bold prediction there.
But
that's just anything can happen.
No,
like,
no,
I don't understand what you're saying.
But the point is that they can either go 4-5 or they can drop 4-5. That's the
point. They're not going to drop 4-5.
Nothing
no.
can happen.
I don't.
Anything can happen, though. Nothing is guaranteed. That's
Amir, you want to get in on this?
What's that? I kind of
Rutgers men's basketball.
Ooh. Talk about my roommates right now. Talk about my dogs. What happened?
No, we're just saying, I'm trying to tell Alex that I think this team is going to turn it around and really get into a rhythm heading into Big Ten play.
Don't get me wrong. I hope so,
that's my take on it.
I agree. Hey, Chris, I hope so. Don't get me wrong. But again, at the same time, nothing is guaranteed. You talk about how basketball's a game of inches. It could be back and forth. It could be down to the wire. That's the same exact regard where the way this team has played and the way any team has played at any given point, nothing is guaranteed for any basketball team, especially in Big Ten play. They could turn things around. They could win 4 or 5, or they can drop 4 or 5. Who knows what can happen? Nothing is guaranteed whatsoever, and the way that they've been inconsistent, the only consistent game they played all year is versus Clemson. That's the only consistent game they played all year. Besides that, it's been back or forth. They've either had to come from behind or they've lost really tough games in either a really bad fashion or in embarrassing fashion at times too.
I think you're too negative. I think that, you know, it's
and
basketball's a game of runs. It's a season
absolutely
of runs.
And my
they'll
point,
turn it around.
Absolutely. At the same time, nothing is guaranteed. It's a turn of runs. It can turn things around, or it could go the opposite path. Who knows what's going to happen? We can't predict exactly just like that they're going to beat Purdue, they're going to beat Seton Hall, they're going to win these out-of-conference games before 2021 comes to a close the way they've played 8 games into the season. Nothing is guaranteed whatsoever.
Well, yeah, but I just think you should have faith in team that really changed the culture here
at
Rutgers.
I agree with you.
And
I agree they have changed the culture. Okay. But at the same time, from a neutral standpoint, anything could happen. I'm not downplaying. I'm not upgrading. I'm not doing any of that.
I see where Alex is coming from.
I know. I see where he's coming from. Think he's like trying to hedge too much. Like he's trying to take both sides.
I get
and
it.
Act like he's always coming out on top. That's
no,
the thing
not
that's
at
getting.
All.
You know,
that's just not how Alex is.
Just take a position. That's all I'm asking you. That's what we do here. This is sports talk radio.
I agree
we take
with you
positions.
Absolutely.
We defend them.
You can also at the same again and my position that I'm defending is that anything could happen at any given moment. And if they turn around and they go on this miracle run, that's great. God bless them. That's fantastic. That would be great for the culture, great for the school, great for us. Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. I want that to happen. At the same time, when it comes to a covering standpoint or seeing the way this team has played, look, I see the optimism. I like the optimism. But again, nothing is guaranteed by how inconsistent the team has been. That's the thing as well. Nothing is guaranteed whatsoever in any basketball season. But this team, when they lost Miles Johnson, they lost Jacob Young, they have not been the same team 8 games in that they were last spring, especially during that tournament run. Things have been different compared to what it was last year. And regardless if they can make it again, if they don't, anything could happen and at any given moment. They could turn around, they could be fantastic, and they can make this March Madness run again for the second straight year, or they can lose their next 5, and things could be different, or they can win 3 of 2. Who knows what's going to happen? I can't tell the future, I can't predict the future, but the point is that anything can happen at any moment, and we shouldn't be either too negative or too positive. We should be at neutral right now, really seeing it at a game-by-game basis of where this team can go regardless.
All right, let's take it by a game-by-game basis. I think these next 2 games against Purdue and Seton Hall are a massive opportunity for this team to show improvement. And you know, they've dealt with a lot of adversity in the past.
Oh,
and,
for sure.
And they've come out on the better end of it every time.
Oh, sure.
So I think maybe it's worth just, you know, everyone just taking a breather, just relax, watch this team go to work. Let's see what they can give us.
It should be a great atmosphere
on Thursday night against Purdue.
Absolutely.
I'll be calling that game.
Crazy.
That's going to be nuts. Yeah. Are you going to be there, Amir?
I'm going to try. I mean, if Rutgers wants to give me tickets or I'll just, you know.
I think they have a section of student tickets that come out day of.
Okay, well, you know, I get the RU screw, and you know they never let me, you know, like link, like add it to it, or like claim it, or nothing. Like
well,
that's why I didn't go to no football games.
Okay, I would just call them, just like call the ticket office, be like, hey, there's an issue with my app. Can you know get me a student ticket? Like,
yeah.
I think if you talk to someone, they'll help you out there.
Or I'll be in studio, Amir. You can join me if you would like to cover the game in studio with me, if that's okay with the boss, of course.
I mean, it's a free country, but.
Yeah.
If he wants to go see the game in person.
Oh, no. Of course.
I'm going to see.
You can always call it tonight on and after.
That is true.
I'm going to see what Thursday's looking like because, you know, I got to see, we're in final season now, so I might have to take an L and work on projects or something. But
oh, man. I'm definitely killed by a project right now.
Yeah, man.
I got essays, too, left and right.
Yeah,
I feel
man.
You.
So I'm going to try. I definitely try. If not, I'll be watching my boys from the couch, and I'll see them after the game if I have to. But I'm definitely excited for that game. Definitely, I think we're going to, you know, like Chris is saying, Alex, you know, we got to have faith and definitely got to get that rhythm. It's definitely going to be a little hard. You know, hopefully Gio's back for this Purdue game.
Oh, sure.
You know. It's going to be a little hard going forward. You know, it's not clicking like they used to click, but they definitely did change the culture of us winning. We went to a major tournament
in years.
So, you know, it's definitely, I really hope they can turn this around. And definitely, Purdue's going to obviously be very hard. They are the number one team in the country right now.
For a reason. Absolutely.
I was doing my boards. They've got, you know, they've got like some real
heavy
scores.
Hitters. Yeah, they have heavy hitters. So, hopefully we can give them a fight. Hopefully we do not get no blown out like my Oklahoma City Thunder did by the Memphis the other day.
Oh, I didn't want to bring it up. Yeah, I didn't want to bring it up. But
I'm sorry for your loss, pal. Tough.
Yeah, but hey, we didn't have Giddy or Shea. I don't want to hear it.
You still lost by 73.
We did. That was crazy. I never think that was going to happen.
And let's keep in mind, Memphis didn't have Ja Morant in that game.
Exactly.
So keep that in mind, too.
Exactly.
But, again, positive, negative, whatever. We have to take it by a game-by-game basis with this Rutgers men's basketball team. And the fact that the way they have played this year, it has not been the same way they played last year. It's been different to kick off the season. We have to take it at a game-by-game basis.
Let's do that.
And at the same time, let's not get too over-optimistic or let's not get too pessimistic, at the same time. See it from a neutral lens. Let's see what they can do from it. And also, when you compare the matchups, look, Purdue seeing all those games will be tough. At the same time, the way they have played against out-of-conference teams in general this year, it has not been the best.
And, you know, what I'm going to say is, you know, this is when the team really needs, like, Rutgers, the students, the fan base.
Oh, I agree with you completely.
I mean, it's going to be a huge boost. Like, having a sold-out Jersey Mike's Arena, I think it's easy to forget this, given that, you know, we are just sort of readjusting from, you know, the days of me having to sit in a large arena with 15 other people surrounded by cardboard cutouts while Rutgers is playing a basketball game.
Yes.
So getting back to like that atmosphere, I think it's a huge boost when you're playing these top ranked teams, and they have to go up against that atmosphere. I mean, it rivals the best in the Big Ten, so anything is possible. And you know, I'm sticking behind this team. That's
no.
how I roll.
And so, Chris, that's fantastic, and I respect it completely. We'll see what happens. We'll see what takes place.
Yes,
but.
And now with that, we're going to have to go to break because coming up, it's Locks of the Week, and we're going to try and earn you, the listener, some nice hard-earned cash. So that's coming up on the other side. This is the Tuesday Crew on WRSU-FM, New Brunswick.
Locks of the Week, Locks of the Week, Locks of the Week here on WRSU-FM, New Brunswick. Back here on the Tuesday Crew, Chris Sakonis is with me, as is Amir Leidy, and I'm Alex Carbonati. Guys, great song, Kanye, Graduation. I know the album by now, but I'll start...
He has it written down on his hand. What? I saw
no,
him look
not
down
at all.
His palm.
Hold
not
on,
at
hold
all.
On. What's the song called? You got the album right. What's the song called? Come on, we keep going over
hold on,
it every
hold on,
time.
Hold on, hold on, hold on.
Every time.
Da 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 da. Hold on, hold on, hold on. I'm trying to memorize the beat. I'm blanking. I'm sorry.
The beat.
Homecoming.
Homecoming. That's what it is.
Homecoming.
I'm coming home. There
yes,
you go. Fantastic.
There you go.
Mr. Leidy, we'll start with you, sir. What's your lock of the week?
Oh, man. I'm looking right now, man. It depends if we talk about tonight or tomorrow, because if there's a game tomorrow that if y'all want to throw the house on, it's going to be Bayern versus Barcelona in the Champions League. Barca has to win versus Bayern or they go to the Europa League in like the first time in like 20, 30 years. Like I don't even know the last time I've seen Barca in the Europa League. Maybe this might be the first time. And Barcelona is just not as good anymore without Messi, without that old squad. You know, they've just been struggling. I'm pretty sure they've only scored like 2 or 3 goals in the whole group stage. So, you know, Bayern said that they're coming out strong. They're going to give them the best team possible. Like, they're not going to just put out reserves against them and then see what happens, because they're not going to – it's Bayern. They always want to win. So, if it's one lock that you want to worry about tomorrow, if you want to put the house, like 1,000, 5,000, I don't care.
Ooh, careful now here. We're trying to make people some money.
I'm telling you, go make some money off of. And if Bayern loses the Barca, that is actually the worst. Like,
you have to pay the listener back if they lose.
Oh no.
Yeah,
no,
but it's not going to happen. So
not that. But if we want to talk about tonight real quick, I think my lock, I'm gonna go with hockey, because you know I always talk about basketball, so I'm gonna go with hockey. Definitely a lock for me tonight. If you want to make a little 3-team parlay, I'm liking the Lightning over the Canadiens.
Yeah.
I'm liking the Ducks over the Sabres.
Okay.
And I am liking, for the last game, the Maple Leafs over the Blue Jackets. Now, I'm not gonna say the Rangers over the Blackhawks, because I am a Blackhawks fan and I hate the Rangers too. So I will not suggest you to bet, you know, on the Rangers. But they are playing my team. We're not that great. So if you are a Rangers fan out there listening, and you probably do, you guys are pretty hot. You guys have a pretty good chance of winning. So it would be a good lock too.
Intriguing. Really intriguing. Boss, do you have something for us?
I definitely do. I've got one that I feel pretty good about here. So my Brooklyn Nets are hitting the road tonight at 7:30 to take on the Dallas Mavericks down south. Now, this is a Nets team that I think has gotten a little bit of disrespect, because they don't have Kyrie Irving, so you know they're not 100% in that respect. But they are 16-7, and you know they still got Kevin Durant. They have James Harden, who I think is going to turn it around. And they've got some nice pieces on this team. So I still think that this Nets team is a contender to win the NBA championship. You know, they've won 3 of their last 5. In the 2 games they lost by like an average of like 5 points. So they've been, you know, largely getting it done. And this is a Dallas team that's lost 4 of its last 5 games. So I'm ultimately going to go with the Nets -1.5 here. I think that's pretty good value. And I think it has a pretty good chance of hitting. So
wait, it's only 1.5?
It's only 1.5. That's what I got right here on the ESPN app.
What the heck? They're disrespecting.
Well, keep in mind, Brooklyn is on the road.
Yeah, but still.
I mean,
the stars. The Mavericks aren't that bad.
I mean, you could go on the alt spread and probably make some more if you think they're going to win more than that.
I think, maybe the Nets might. I'm not even saying that Nets are going to lose. The Nets could win this with like 3, 4, or 5, to be honest. I would think.
Yeah.
That can even be better. I thought that was going to be lying. No, just 1.5. So, okay. I'm with that. I like the Nets. They do make me mad, and I definitely criticize them. You know, bing bong. Kind of like in the Knicks a little bit.
This is probably going to sound ignorant, and I want to have like a Carminati moment here, but like, where did the bing bong thing like really come from?
Okay. I will explain it to y'all.
Okay.
Okay. So there's an Instagram. Hold on. I'm going to try to play it.
Hold on. What do you mean by a Carbonati moment? What's that supposed to mean?
Like when a certain song plays for a certain segment and we ask you what album it's from and you don't know.
So you're saying I'm an uncultured swine.
I didn't say that. No. Those were your words. Those were your words. Those were not my words.
All right. So Bing Bong came from an Instagram page called Side Talk NYC. It's just New York people being New York people, going crazy,
except
just doing dumb things.
I'm from New York, but I'm not those New York people.
All right. Enough of your moralizing. Let Amir tell the story.
It's just New York City people, like, you know, they just go crazy. Like, you ever seen the original videos like Bing Bong? It's like, you know, it's like, what do you want to tell Joe Byron right now? What's up, baby? Take me out to lunch. Hey, yo, y'all ever seen that?
I have not.
No.
Oh, man. All right, I'm going to show y'all after. But so there's this video. So, it's a lot of people, if you hear Bing Bong, it's because of that. But the Bing Bong came from before every Instagram video they post. It's the subway thing. I'm going to play it on the mic. It's the subway thing going ding dong.
Oh, okay. Okay, and then Mike Breen said, "Bing bong."
And then they go bing bong.
And then you know then now I bang! Hear it on, now I hear it on every other Rutgers women's basketball broadcast.
Yep, bing bong. Yep, I'm probably gonna say it too.
I don't know. Bong.
All right, I may have to clamp down on certain catchphrases in this department, but okay. All right, so we got down to the bottom of that. Alex, do you have a lock?
I do, sir.
Oh, boy.
Boss, I do. Celtics-Lakers tonight, right? It's in L.A. The Staples Center, even though the Staples Center logo has been ripped off, they're playing in L.A. regardless. Lakers are favorites, right? They're favorites by 4 points. Don't go with it. Go with the Celtics tonight. I'm going with the Celtics. I think the Celtics will get the upset. They are going to take things over. The money line might be -175 to +150. It's all in favor of the Lakers, but at the same time, LeBron's shaking up. AD is shaking up. Westbrook's the main dog out there. And look, they still got Jason Tatum. This Celtics team might be 13-11. They might be 7-7 on the road. I think they'll pull off the upset. I think they'll take the take down Los Angeles. Go with the Celtics tonight. Lock them in and make sure you turn things over. And I guarantee the Celtics will win you some money tonight. They'll take down the Lakers. Westbrook is, you never know with Westbrook. Good player as a whole. But he could be hit or miss. Who knows with Westbrook. Also, the Lakers still dealing with injuries with LeBron, AD, the whole shebang with that. Go with the Celtics tonight. Go with the Celtics tonight for sure.
Are you going, hang on, I want to make sure I have this right. You're going against the spread? Are you going,
I'm going against it, yeah.
What's the spread on that game?
The spread is 4.
Okay, so you think they're going to win by more than 4?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Celtics have it tonight. They'll take down the Lakers. It'll be an upset, and they'll take care of L.A. in L.A. Tonight.
So you're going to just disrespect GOAT James?
No.
You don't just walk into Crypto.com Arena and get a win. Like,
ew.
Let's
hate that.
I hate it, too.
Let's just
the
make
ridiculous
something clear here.
What are they going to do next? Name an arena after Jersey Mike's?
They did that already.
They already did it. Thanks, Rutgers. We love the
Let me
name.
Say something quickly. The GOAT is Michael Jordan, not LeBron James. But, oh, yeah. Any yes, for sure. No,
we Jordan. Really want to step on that landmine.
Yes, we do. LeBron is not the GOAT. 4-6 for a reason.
I'm going to turn the speakers off and go.
4-6, but hear about that. 10 finals.
Should be 7-2 if we really think about it. He should have been the 9.
What?
He should have been to 9 finals. Okay, I'll
what?
MJ?
I will run through my LeBron argument quickly. LeBron's 4-6, right? We all know that. 2011 to 2016, he should have won 5 straight. Actually, 6 straight. Here's why.
Should have won. Okay, explain.
2011, Dallas, we can all agree on that one. That was a really bad upset. Should have really beaten the Mavericks. That was no excuse whatsoever.
I mean, that Mavericks team was lighting it up from downtown.
LeBron
that was
and
a good team.
Let's keep in mind, LeBron and company, they were the better team overall, and that is said by many people as one of, if not LeBron's biggest upset in a final series.
I mean, look, that Heat team, I mean, they're you know, no one can question their star power, but they didn't have the depth that the later teams had. Mm-hmm. You know, and that Mavericks team was greater than the sum of its parts. And I'm not going to take any Dirk Nowitzki slander on this show. So, you know, I guess you could say it was an upset in the sense that most people expected LeBron to win. But sure. I don't think that, you know. It's not like they lost like a random like 5 seed from the West.
No,
so.
That's fair. But
okay.
When,
all right, anyway,
when you
continue.
When you compare the star power, no.
All right,
2011, 2012, 2013, back-to-back, okay, fair enough. The next year, the same Spurs team, and you're losing that team in 5? If you don't win that series, at least lose it in 6. The fact that you play the same exact Spurs team, Kawhi, Patty Mills, the whole shebang, whatever, you still have that same Heat team as well. Same exact 2 teams going together, facing off, and the Spurs outmatch you in 5 games. You should have won that, or you should have made it within 6. 2015, Game 5, they blew that. 2015, they were up in that game. It was 2-2 apiece in the series. LeBron and company had the lead. They blew it to Golden State. They lost that series. 2016, I give them all the credit in the world. Great comeback. One of the greatest, if not the greatest comebacks in NBA history. The block, the great block, absolutely, I'll give them all of that. 2017 was going to lose regardless. 2018 should have never been there. Here's why. Boston should have won that series. Terry Rozier got fouled in Game 7. Lots of missed calls against the Celtics. I'm not a Celtic fan, but what I'm saying is this. The Celtics got robbed of that, and the Celtics should have beaten that LeBron team with LeBron and everybody else, regardless. ridiculous. LeBron barely got there with that team, and they got smashed by Golden State in four games in that series. Boston should have been there. I'm not saying Boston would have been in Golden State, but Boston would have made it more competitive than the Cavaliers that season. 2020, I'll give them that as well. Dome, bubble, whatever you want to call it, I'll give him that. He gets that championship there. Great run by him. And, you know, when you compare all of that together, it should be 7-2.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, let's go all the way back to your Spurs statement.
Yes.
Why did they have to lose 6? That Spurs team was ridiculous.
It was
Kawhi.
The same exact team from the same season. Okay. Same exact teams. And let's also keep in mind.
That means better, more. Chemistry.
No,
but.
No. Let's keep in mind the year previous in 2013, Ray Allen saved LeBron James' skin to keep that series alive. If Ray Allen does not make that shot, LeBron loses that and the Spurs win in Miami on home court. Let's keep that in mind as well.
So we forget about Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, everyone else on that team?
No. I'm not at all. But what I'm saying is that if Ray Allen does not hit that shot, that game does not go to overtime, and that series does not extend to that overtime period and the seventh game. I'm not dissing Dwayne Wade. I'm not dissing Chris Bosh. That game as a whole for Miami wasn't the greatest. That one shot turned things around and kept them alive.
But that's
and
playoff basketball. That's playoff basketball.
That.
Okay, but if you want to apply that argument to other teams, are you going to say that, the 98 Bulls weren't that great because they needed Jordan to hit that open jumper from the head of the key with, like, 6 seconds left to go in game 6 against the Jazz.
They were up in the series, number one.
But you understand what I'm saying here?
Repeat it one more time.
Because you're saying, well, you know, if it weren't for Ray Allen hitting that shot, you know, that they wouldn't have forced overtime, right? That's
right.
Your argument?
Right.
But, like, you could apply that to so many different things. I just don't think it's a fair argument to, like, delegitimize a team. Like, I don't agree with that.
Let's keep in mind LeBron in that game didn't have the best game either. Didn't have the best
so
game.
So the other team, but so that's where you have teammates. LeBron can't carry you every game. That's why you got the teammates.
No,
and that's what you get Ray Allen for.
No.
Chris
Bosh. I get that.
Mario
completely.
Chalmers and
but,
all that.
If it were all LeBron, on him, he'd be winning in Cleveland with like Anderson Varejao.
LeBron
and,
does not win
Mo
that
Williams.
Series unless Ray Allen hits that shot.
I mean, yeah, of course. Cause
that's my point.
I mean, yeah.
But why does that take away from what he did that year? One of the great moments in the last decade.
No. It's a fantastic shot, and Ray Allen gets all the credit. But the point I'm trying to make is that if Ray Allen doesn't make the shot, LeBron James doesn't win that championship, and that team doesn't win the championship. So that takes away LeBron's extra ring that he has, of course, now. But I think the fact that, again, if that shot does not go in and Miami does lose in 6, it delegitimizes that argument for LeBron a bit more. It delegitimizes the argument even more.
I'll give him a little of that. If he did lose that, if they did lose that series and he only has 3 rings, and okay.
My point is, if you want to go down that rabbit hole, like you could say, well,
you could say,
if this team didn't make this
shot.
If
Steve Kerr didn't hit that 3 when Michael Jordan versus what team was it? Remember when
it was like 92, right? It
right?
Was like
Steve
early,
Kerr
early
making that 3-pointer.
I know exactly what you're talking
buzzer
about.
Beater.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You could say if Steve Kerr ain't hit that shot, then MJ's not winning that series.
Let's keep it. Okay, fair enough.
Or like, you know, like say, you know, Villanova, you could say Villanova didn't deserve to win that last national championship because they needed Chris Jenkins to hit that shot at the buzzer in the Natty game.
Right.
Like, you know, you could, my point is you could go down that rabbit hole in basketball all day long.
That's fair.
And then if you would find enough examples that eventually you'd start questioning, you know, what does this game really mean? Anything?
At the same time.
You know, I just don't think it's a fair argument.
No. It is in the Jordan-LeBron debate because let's say those things matched up. Jordan would still have 5. LeBron would still have 3. Jordan would still have more championships than LeBron.
Okay, and also let's remember the type of league Jordan was playing in versus the type of league is now. Jordan back then he can knock down a 3, but wasn't a 3-point shooter.
Doesn't
now,
matter. Jordan can play any position on the field and win
you a game.
No, of course,
yes, but now
that's
today
LeBron can't do that consistently. That's
I would say LeBron is whoa. I would say LeBron is more multi-positional than Jordan was.
His threes aren't that great compared to Jordan.
Jordan wasn't even the greatest 3-point shooter either. He could shoot threes, but now today the type of way
Jordan,
the way we the
Jordan,
NBA is and they shoot threes on every shot.
Jordan would probably have not been able to get half the rings.
Okay, let me ask you this question. LeBron or Jordan, game down to the wire, 2 seconds, buzzer beater, whatever the situation is. Who do you want taking the shot, Jordan or LeBron? From downtown.
From downtown?
From downtown. Give me Jordan any day of the week.
I'm giving me Bron.
Okay, Michael Jordan, career three-point shooting. You guys ready for this?
Go ahead.
327.
Okay.
So 327, remember that number. We're going to pull up LeBron.
Okay.
Let's see what comes up here. I think LeBron is higher.
Give me Bron on that sidestep, side of the court, three-point
step back. Give me Jordan any day.
LeBron, 34.5% from downtown.
Bang!
That's like 2% better.
Bang!
Like, that's good. Like, 2% is a big difference.
Oh, for sure.
And also, you want to talk about, you said specifically Jordan could play any position on the
floor. He started as a two, and his game evolved into being a three-point shooter and playing from anywhere across the field. Absolutely.
He wasn't a three-point shooter.
He wasn't a three. He shot 32% career. That's not, I wouldn't classify that as a three-point shooter. Why do you think they kept Steve Kerr around all that time? He was their three-point specialist.
Fair enough.
And also, LeBron, if you're talking about a guy who could play any position, let's take all the other aspects out for just 1 second here. Uh-huh. You said Jordan could play any position on the floor.
Anywhere.
And excel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. LeBron James is 6'9", 250 pounds.
Okay.
You could put him in that five spot and play a relatively small ball lineup, and it would succeed. LeBron, Michael Jordan at the same time was 6'6", 198 pounds. You're telling me you're going to put him at the five and like let him cook?
Michael Jordan from anywhere across the floor will cook. Anywhere across the floor. I guarantee it.
But Jordan was clearly a guard.
Right.
He was not a five-position player. That wasn't his style. There are great players who could play all five positions of the floor and do well.
That's fair.
There are players who, you know, are just as talented, but they're more into, you know, like Jordan was clearly a guard. LeBron, you could play him as a guard. You could play him as a forward. You could theoretically play him as a center.
Can you do it consistently, though? You really can't with the guard position. You really can't play LeBron consistently as a guard. So, okay, fine.
Why?
Same thing with Jordan at that center position. Okay, fine. You can't play him there. Fair enough. But LeBron consistently is not built as a guard, or he does not shoot as a guard.
What's
the difference? In what way?
Yeah, in what
way? In multiple ways where he's chucked up the shot and he's cost teams either a series, a chance, whatever it may be. Jordan as a whole, I would bet any money in the world to take Jordan over LeBron from any position on the floor. Also keep in mind at the same time that Jordan, again, started as a two-point shooter, fair enough, but evolved from anywhere. You give the ball to Jordan in the corner, inside the arc, outside the arc, wherever you want, put him in any position on the court, he's making the shot. Absolutely, he's got it. Absolutely, he's got the shot. Jordan, again, proved it time and time again.
And Bron did too. Can we not forget
Bron
about the buzzer beaters that Bron has
Bron
made?
Has also
Les
choked
Bron has
time
made
and time
those playoffs.
Again.
You remember that?
Bron has
remember
also
that
choked
off
step, time and time
that
again.
That off step buzzer beater when he was on the Cavs versus the was it the Pacers? I think versus
so,
the Pacers. That off step. No.
Jordan was more consistent in the clutch shot than LeBron. Jordan was much more consistent in the clutch shot than LeBron. That is for sure. That is
absolutely
for
sure?
For sure.
I don't know if it is. I think you're just remembering the good moments of Jordan and forgetting all the times he missed, and you're also discrediting LeBron for the times that he made.
Jordan, I think it's just every finals, back-to-back three-peat runs.
I think it's just
six
Long
finals
Islanders
MVPs.
Love Jordan. These Long Islanders
love. No, it's not
love,
that. It's not really that.
They just love Jordan. They just hate on Bron. I bet you I can call. I got a couple friends in Long Island. I call them right now and ask who's better. They're going to say Jordan.
Go ahead. Call them. Put them on the air. Do whatever you want. Go ahead. Bring them on.
They gonna say Jordan.
They can say Jordan. I know plenty of people who are gonna say LeBron. I know plenty of people who would say LeBron. It is for sure Michael Jordan. Jordan is the GOAT. 6-0, all-time great shooter. One of the clutch shots shooters, if not the clutchest player in history. And let's keep in mind, Michael Jordan as a whole played more consistently and won more consistently than LeBron James at any level whatsoever. Any level.
Alex, okay, because we're gonna go back and forth. You can never win. You can never win with this combo. Like, I don't care who it is.
I agree with you. This will.
It's just gonna always go
this
back and forth.
Absolutely, I agree with you completely. You gotta go with MJ. MJ all day, baby. MJ all day, any week, any year, whatever you want, any decade. Give me Michael Jordan any decade. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm definitely, in today's NBA, I'm definitely going to roll with a 32% free three-point shooter.
That's Michael Jordan with. still can get me some wins and win me some championships regardless.
But is his style of play as conducive to today's game as it was to the game in the 80s and 90s?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Can he the still
only,
play?
He'd be the very only good. Thing, yeah. The only thing I'm giving good. Jordan,
oh,
great,
the only thing I'm giving Jordan over Braun is defense.
That's fair.
I will definitely give Jordan defense over Braun any day. Jordan's defense was crazy.
But again, I think that also comes down to, you know, what the NBA has turned into and since the time that Jordan left and LeBron came into the league.
Yeah, like, look how much
defense isn't, like, I mean, they play defense.
No, they do.
But it's not like it was back then.
Yeah,
but,
Dame Dolan, Steph freaking going up from the logo and everything.
Well,
like,
that's
how
the thing.
Exactly.
Steph Curry changed the game to the three-point ball. LeBron did to a certain extent, but not as far as Curry did.
But it wasn't just Curry. It was, you know, I mean, those Warriors teams were just like the ones that put it over the top. But there were teams that would, you know, live and die by the three, as they would call it.
Kobe and the Lakers and those teams like that. Absolutely.
It would be like, you know, I think the trend really started in like the late 2000s, early 2010s when teams, you know, they started hiring analytical types and, you know, they said to themselves, hey, we can it's more efficient to take a three-point shot instead of like a mid-range two.
Curry put it
because
over the top.
You might not make them as often, but when you do, you get more points and on the expected value. Like they're the numbers definitely back this up. This did not just happen on its own. Curry was a big part of it. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
But it was. I think it's just another instance of analytics getting into sports and just changing how the game is played. Like it's kind of like why baseball you don't have starters pitching complete games anymore.
That's fair.
It's analytics.
That's fair.
I think we started it with Harden, Russ, and KD when we had them in 2011.
I wish we won that series.
We should have won.
Believe me, I wish you beat the Heat that year. I wish you beat the Heat. Well, you're a LeBron hater, so that doesn't surprise me. Exactly. I can't stand LeBron James.
My fault. No. My fault. What's it called?
So you're biased.
No,
my
not
fault,
really.
Skip.
Ooh.
Skip.
I like Skip Bayless.
Skip.
Good guy.
Skip.
No one likes Skip Bayless.
I love
That's what makes him Skip Bayless.
See, this is why. I'm fine with that, and I'll be Shannon. Me and Alex will go back and forth any day.
All right, Shannon, let's go, baby. Bring it on. Let's go.
Any day. I'm Skip.
Come on,
you're crazy, Skip.
Nah, Shannon, get out of here. You're LeBron love, Shannon. No way. No, you're crazy. You're crazy, man. No way. Although, that would be fun. Skip and Shannon, Alex and Amir. Sounds pretty good to me, right, pal?
Yeah, that's not bad.
See, it's pretty good.
Tell ESPN the highest.
Alex and Amir, undisputed. That sounds great to me. Or Carm and Christian, or Carm and Amir, undisputed. Undisputed. That's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I think it's great.
I'm having one of those moments where I'm sort of reexamining all the decisions I made to end up in the position where I am caught in the crossfire of this whole conversation. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Well, boss, you made the right move.
No, I'm not saying I made the wrong move. It's just there are times when I sit back and I wonder, how did I get here?
Well, you get here through pizzazz, through a colorful character. We'll call it that.
I mean, I'm not as colorful of a character as you, Alex.
Oh, I am a character.
I think you've
got
me beat in that department.
Oh, I would say so too.
Yeah,
Alex is very energetic.
I am who I am. What you see, or for the audience, what you hear is what you get.
I know.
What you hear is what you get.
Me and you, if we went to high school together, we would definitely had our own show already. The way
that
we would argue at the lunch table.
That would have been great.
I wish my high school had a radio station.
Oh, I wish too. There are high schools that have them.
My high school did that.
Really?
My high school did.
That's cool.
Massapequa.
I wish.
The closest I got was the morning announcements. That was like the peak. It was like, all right, I'd be making announcements about like study hall and all that stuff, and it was just like, I mean, it's the closest thing I could get, but you know.
I did that. I did a whole bunch of stuff. I was on the dial, as they say. I still am on the dial.
And you will be until you graduate from here at a minimum.
Well, we got a willing. We'll see what happens in the future.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
No, at a minimum. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. I tell you, I mean, again, this is just Jordan, LeBron, whatever. I just love these conversations. Chris, it's always great to have you here. I mean, just regardless, it's always great to have Chris Sakonis here. Right, Amir?
Yeah.
Am I right?
The boss is here. Yeah,
the boss is fantastic.
Yeah. I miss this. I haven't been on this show in a couple of weeks, if you guys remember.
Well, we are so happy you're back. I am ecstatic. I'm ecstatic that Chris Sakonis is here. I'm just very happy. The boss is here. The man who runs the show. The man who runs the sports department. He is here in action. He's live on the set. Live on the set.
I think you're blowing this a little bit out of proportion. Yeah. I basically live in this studio.
Well, Alex, I know.
Alex,
I spend more time in that newsroom than I do with my actual family. So you know.
Intriguing.
It's just the nature of the game.
There you go. That's the boss. Amir, you were saying?
No, I'm trying to think of our next topic.
We could talk about how Seton Hall is like playing some dirty tricks with their tickets to keep Rutgers fans out of that game on Sunday.
Are they really?
Oh, you don't know about this?
No. I've heard about it.
You know, let's break for the ID. Let's come back with the rejoin, and we can get into that a bit.
Absolutely. We
on sure the
will.
Grand conspiracy to lock Rutgers fans out of the Garden State Hardwood Classic. Be back in a moment. This is the Tuesday Crew on WRSU-FM at New Brunswick.